Hey there, Houston. Thank you, as always, for tuning in to us here at the Houston Independent Media Radio Show. We have a great show for you tonight, including a commentary from a group that recently went to a Trump rally called Open Letter to Trump Supporters. But first, thanks to Brian Parra's work, we bring you extensive coverage from the demonstration that took place this past Saturday, which was a meeting of several indigenous as well as environmental groups to oppose a proposed mine in Eagle Pass, Texas. As we continue to bring you this coverage, another thing of note in that particular area of Texas is that on the heels of this same demonstration, worthy of notation, there is also a great deal of corruption potentially that is taking place in that community. This past Thursday, the Federal Bureau of Investigations and a federal grand jury charged Hector Chavez Sr., 67, with bribery, falsification of records, obstruction of justice, and making a false statement to a federal agent. This was as a result of a years-long investigation alleging that in 2012, the business owner trying to win a contract for construction at the Maverick County landfill hired Chavez's company, Chase Management, to subcontract. The business owner, who was not named in court records, gave Hector Chavez Sr. about $20,000 to bribe a Maverick County commissioner in exchange for the $270,000 contract. Chavez is no stranger to controversy. In 2009, while serving as the Eagle Pass Public Works Director, Chase Management received more than $1 million in consulting fees for the landfill construction project. Chavez's son, Hector Chavez Jr., was the Maverick County Solid Waste Authority General Manager. Hector Chavez Jr. is currently serving more than 5 years in prison after admitting to forging county checks that he drafted to himself. The father and son are caught up in a long-running investigation into a bribery and kickback scheme. Four Maverick County commissioners have pled guilty, and more than a dozen others have been implicated in a scam to hand out inflated contracts in exchange for bribes. They raided more than $1 million from a fund to improve roads and drainage in the county's poor colonias.
You know, just, I mean, I can feel it. It's kind of feeling a little bit emotional about this, and I can feel it in my head, like it just pounded, because I know they're just releasing a lot of bad stuff out here.
Dos Republicas Coal Partnership first received their permit for an open surface coal mine in Maverick County in 1994.
The issue at this point is that this coal mine in operation since May of 2015, and they are going to destroy more than 100 secret religious archaeological sites.
The mine has been inoperable up until May 2015. Litigation to stop the coal mine is pending.
These are ancient Indian encampments of people, and they are going to be either used as wastewater, industrial, toxic discharge drainages, more than 40. So that would be a totally destruction of our Indian heritage, on top of more than 60 more that would be blast with dynamite.
Native peoples of Texas have united to protect Mother Earth and oppose coal mining.
We're opposing the Dos Republicas coal mine, which is right behind me here in Maverick County. And they're totally owned by Mexican billionaires from Mexico who have mines in Coahuila. And they have polluted the countryside and the towns of where they have had these mines in Mexico, and they have a terrible environmental record.
If you see, across me, it is Elm Creek, and Elm Creek is very ancestral, ancient. There's many kinds of, shells, mussels, fish, and that has been there for hundreds of thousands of years, and those resources were used for our people to live, and so the site has huge cultural resources that tells the story of our people, and they're going to destroy our history by eliminating all the sites. Our history is being diminished. We will not be able to go back and connect to the site.
Paleo Indians, Coahuiltecans, Comanches, Apaches, Carancawas, Kickapoo, and other tribes roamed and traveled the fertile and rich Elm Creek and Rio Grande River areas.
There's a long-term effect that's going to affect this, though, because all of this water that they're emptying into this creek, this Elm Creek, is running into the Rio Grande, and that's the potable water, the drinking water that people have. You know, that's where they get their drinking supply for many of these cities and towns that are all along the Rio Grande. But also, there's this medicine that goes along that way, medicine that is sacred to the people of the Carrizo Comico, the people. You know, the medicine of the peyote. And that's a sacred medicine that is still being used today. And so we need to find some way to make people understand that by doing that, they're polluting that which is sacred to us. And it touches all the other medicines. The peyote, the tobacco tree that's already been taken away, and all the other things that we use, you know, that we use to take care of ourselves and to make ourselves feel. Not only that, just imagine how it's affecting the wildlife, you know, and the wildlife that's important to us, the things that we need for our lifeways. You know, and so that has a big impact in who we are, even into the future. And they're not looking into that because they're only thinking short term, and their plans are only 5 or 10 year plans, not even 10. They might just be 5, and they're all considering just how much money I'm going to make that year or the next year. And that's what it's about. It's not about how many lives they're killing because of what they're doing. They don't care. Life is worthless to them, and that's why they can do what they do. You know, threaten people. You know, to shut up or to get away, to find a way to keep doing this crazy stuff. You know, the Eshtokna, the people of this land that lived here, the Carrizo Comecrudo, these are the artifacts that they have found out here. You know, they themselves have named them and labeled them to be Carrizo artifacts. Nobody, no other tribe but Carrizo. And I think that we have to understand that when we stand together with the other nations, with the Lipans, Pacuache and people, you know, we're standing in unity to be taking care of what's the earth. We have common ground, and that's this land. And I think that's what we're trying to look at.
The coal they're extracting from here is of very low quality. The United States will not use it. Yet the Railroad Commission, even though our whole town, the city mayor, the council, the county judge and the commissioners, the hospital district, and our association have opposed it, along with 8,000 letters and petitions that our citizens signed in just 2 months. And we are being ignored and not listened to. All of this coal is not benefiting our country, the United States, or Texas. It is going to Mexico, across the river into Nava, where they have the power plants, Altos Hornos Carbon 1 and 2, which are the highest polluting coal-burning plants in the Northern Hemisphere. Now, the EPA 2020 agreement with Mexico in 2012, they agreed to stop any further pollution of the Rio Grande River, and they have totally ignored this mine. We have taken it to court. 3 times we appealed, and our appeal has been not granted, and Dos Repúblicas has been allowed to continue mining. And as far as we're concerned, we're collateral damage, and we don't count, and our voices are not heard by anybody. We need for the world to know, the country of the United States, that we are being abused and ignored and victims of terrible pollution by the Dos Repúblicas Coal Mine Partnership.
Again, you know, our position is that the process has failed through all these federal and state agencies, in particular the Railroad Commission, the Texas Historical Commission, have not consulted with us, have not excluded us from the programmatic agreement, excluded us from consultation. We claim in tribal sovereign immunity, and any way they ever consult with us after we submit our consultation request.
We talk about the sovereignty of nations, the sovereignty of state, you know, but we never talk about the sovereignty of our Mother Earth. And our Earth should have sovereignty first. That is the first sovereignty, because that's what gives us life. That's what nurtures us. And we're destroying all that nurtures us. There are like 12 sites on this mining place here that nobody knows you know, or has reports on, and nobody's ever told us anything about it. So we're wondering, all those things that they've taken out of here have gone, where, if there were any remains that were taken out, where have they gone, where have they put them, where are the reports, you know? The EPA should have this stuff. You know, the Texas Railroad Commission should have this stuff. I mean, I think that there has to be some kind of accountability for what's happened, you know, to this land and to the sacred lands that they continue to rape and to abuse. And that's what, you know, it hurts, you know, and knowing that all that bad stuff that's been put there by the Creator, you know, and burnt into the ground so it won't come out, is starting to be released. And they're digging up something that's important to me. I mean, this is my people, this is my land, this is the flesh and bones of my people that you're digging up. You know, someday you'll be back in that ground and be digging your butt up, you know. And you, and see what, see if anybody stands up for you. See, we're connected. We're connected to our ancestors. We're connected to our future generations. And it's important that we make those connections and stay connected that way.
My name is Maria Torres. I am the tribal chairwoman for the Pacoche Indian Tribe First Nation, which is the Kwawiteka Indian First Nation of this land, of Eagle Pass.
My name is Martha Baxter, and I'm the Public Relations Officer for the Maverick County Environmental and Public Health Association here in Eagle Pass, Texas, in the County of Maverick.
My name is Juan Mancias. I am Tribal Chair of the Carrizo Comecrudo Tribe of Texas, and they're digging up my ancestors. I know they are. You can feel it. You know, people are talking about it. Rumors are out there. They're digging up bones.
Hi, my name is Luisana Santibanez. I'm here with my family, and we're here because we're opposed to the building of this mine here in Eagle Pass. Our family is always migrating to Mexico and from, and Eagle Pass is a beautiful place to come and visit sometimes, and we'd hate to see it destroyed. For people to make profit off of, like, the environment and the backs of other people, you know, it creates human misery. We don't want those kind of jobs, no prisons, no mines.
My name is Yvette Mendez, and I'm here representing Alma de Mujer, Center for Social Change in Austin, and we're also part of the International Indigenous Women's Network. And I'm here today to support this movement. I belong to the Mescalero Apache tribe, and the Apache people were, you know, some of the original descendants of this land. And so, along with the other tribes that are here representing the native peoples of Texas, we're here to support the people along this border and across the river where the other indigenous people also are being affected. The indigenous people of Mexico are also being affected by what's going on with the mines. And we're very concerned, we're very upset, because this has been part of the colonization process that's been going for 500 years, and still in 2015, that we have to be dealing with this kind of destruction, violation of the land, violation of our sovereignty as Native peoples is absolutely unacceptable. And we're here to voice our support for the people and to be participants in this very historical moment on our land and on this earth, when we are being besieged by climate change, being besieged by the greediness of the corporate powers that want to maintain the status quo and maintain the destruction, all for the name of profit. And so we're here to say that we're against this, and to make it known that we are not going to be silenced by what is going on along the border on these lands with the coal mines.
Sometimes I can't even trust myself.
We went to a Trump rally disguised as what we thought were clearly satirical characters.
You should be nervous standing next to me right now. I gotta be extra careful. I gotta look in the mirror every day when I wake up and make sure, don't do nothing stupid.
But what happened to us completely changed our perspective of Trump supporters. This was during the beginning of Trump's rise, when nobody was really taking him seriously, and all we were seeing were his insane sound bites on television and violent beatings at his rallies. So we went expecting the worst, but all of us were pretty surprised to see how loving and good-intentioned these people were.
Trump, we support his message.
Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you very much, brother.
Which made the whole thing all the more surreal, and when we went back to edit the footage, we stopped finding it funny. Look, if you voted for Trump or you're planning on it, please watch the rest of this video. We want to reach out to you.
We gotta get that wall on the border,
right?
For sure, on the border, get our,
yeah.
Not between us.
Not between us, I like that.
Look, Mexicans, they're not your enemies. The only reason they're coming here is because our free trade deals destroy their economy. And our failed drug war is responsible for a conflict that's killed more civilians than the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan combined. You would try to get the fuck out of there too, but they're not the reason you're struggling to pay the bills. And they're not the reason our country isn't great. Poll after poll, we think the biggest threat to our safety are radical Muslims. You're more likely to die from your furniture. And most terrorist attacks in the United States are carried out by white extremists. But we've been conditioned to fear.
We're at Terror Alert Orange, which means something might go down somewhere in some way at some point in time. So look sharp!
And deprive the wisdom to understand that the war on terror conveniently has no end.
Come on, fire!
It's a cycle of death exploited by profiteers and is justifying the shredding of our constitutional rights. The president can now kill American citizens and lock them up indefinitely without a trial. We've been at war 90% of our history, and our military bases cover the globe. The big government you should fear is the one that needs to be fed with blood. If you support our troops, don't send them to war. And you know the history of African Americans in this country, and you don't really believe in this myth of makers and takers.
I realized that I was wrong.
Besides, most recipients of food stamps are white, and the biggest welfare queens by far are Walmart and McDonald's. If we don't raise the minimum wage, we can keep paying the salaries of their employees for them. And are the Chinese taking our jobs? Well, yes, but it's not China's fault that the corporations we've created and dedicated our lives to and subsidized and allowed to avoid paying taxes are leaving us for higher profits. They have no allegiance to America, and they're actively working to rob you of your voice in government. Politicians and the media, they don't fight for you anymore, and you have every right to be angry, but the Trump phenomenon has nothing to do with Trump. He's a reminder that we fall victim to age-old tactics time and again because we have historical amnesia. Make America great again. It resonates with so many of us because the vast majority of Americans are worse off than they were. Wages have declined. Inequality is worse than ever. The 400 richest people in this country have more wealth than 60% of Americans. And Donald Trump is one of those 400.
I'm not using the lobbyists. I'm not using donors. I don't care.
He doesn't need to be bought out by lobbyists to have the same interests as our real enemies, who hide safely behind the anonymity of the corporate state. They exhaust our resources, brainwash us, pollute our air, food, and water, gamble our life savings while sitting in skyscrapers, plotting complex ways to become richer at the expense of us. And they laugh. They laugh while we blame each other. The only institutions which provide context for our suffering are straddling an entire generation in $1 trillion of debt. We're punishing our children for trying to learn how to undo our negligence. Listen, I know gays and abortions are hardline issues for some, but everything you hope Trump is can be found in another candidate. And yeah, I know the years of conditioning to hate the word socialism are making you feel very uncomfortable right now, but we've been lied to. Trickle down, Reaganomics, deregulation, neoliberalism, it's all bullshit in a bubble while opportunists like Trump walk away rich. He spent his career demeaning people and lying. He's a caricature of the worst aspects of America's collective ego, and he's fooling you. Your anger is legitimate, but it's misdirected. If we want to make America great, we can't do it by building a wall or by dropping bombs. We have to do it by caring about each other as much as we care about ourselves. That's when we'll be great. That's when we can be honest about solving our collective problems. I'll never forget sitting in the rally and looking at everybody and realizing these people are just like me. These are my neighbors. They have the same fears and the same desire for love and security. How did we get this far? How have we become so detached, so alienated from each other and from the truth? We need to start having a conversation. It's our duty, and we can't call each other fascists and racists and lefties. We have to talk as Americans. We all want the best for this country, right? We want the best for our children. Well, let's talk.
Yeah, it's for the people. This is street radio for unsung hero. Riding in the Rego, trying to stay legal. My daughter found Nemo, I found a new primo. Yeah, you know how we do. We do it for the people and the struggle of the brothers and the folks. The lovers of the dope. Experiment to discover hope. Scuffle for notes. The rougher I wrote, times was harder. Went from rock starter to the voice of a martyr. While white folk focus on dogs and yoga.
And at the time of airing, there are currently what teachers refer to as 10 instructional days before the next round of STAR high-stakes testing. Instructional days are the days in which children are in school to learn. However, many of your children in grades 3 and up, particularly if you go to a Title I school, which has a higher number of students that are socioeconomically challenged, teaching looks more like worksheet after worksheet, test prep after test prep. It is because of these practices, coupled with other recent occurrences, such as several students' online assessments being deleted, and also teachers in this most recent going around having to write down how long students took breaks for things such as going to the restroom, that there is an increasing number of parents deciding to opt their children out of the STAR test. Now, in reference to those previous two issues, teachers will not have to write down restroom and break times this next go around, and also students will not have to retake those tests that were erased as a result of online administration. That being said, the testing monster machine continues to march on. If you would like more information, if you are considering opting your child out of the STAR test, you can go to HoustonCVPE.org. That is Community Voices for Public Education. They've been on our program a number of times in the past. And also, they will be having, as they had last year, their opt-out academy. At this point, the opt-out academy is full. However, you can still go to the website I previously mentioned, HoustonCVPE.org, for the upcoming round of testing dates and go ahead and sign up for the wait list. And now, from the first round of the opt-out academy, we bring you voices of parents and children.
It's that time of year when Texas public school students face the annual state-mandated standardized exam known as the STAR test. But some parents have grown increasingly impatient with the practice they believe is detrimental to their children's educational experience. For the past 2 years, local public education advocacy group Community Voices for Public Education has organized Houston-area parents in what is known as the National United Opt-Out Movement. These parents share discontent with a standardized testing regime, which some anecdotal reports say consumes up to 7 months out of every school year in test preparation alone. 2 years ago, only one parent opted out from the STAR test in the Houston Independent School District. CVPE reports last year 80 Houston area families opted out. This year, CVPE presents an alternative to the STAR test in addition to opting out. They call it the Opt-Out Academy.
Well, this is my first year participating in the Opt-Out Academy, but it's an option that we are giving to parents who work during the day who are hesitant to opt out because school is where their kids go while they're at work. So we will be providing instruction in math, science, English, arts, and anything else that pops up along the way, so that these kids are not missing out on education while they are opting out. I know for a lot of working class parents, where to put your kid if you happen to want to take a stand against the STAR test is a real concern. So CVPE came up with this opt-out academy to give parents an alternative so that they can still get their voices heard and their kids are not missing out on instruction time. It seems within HISD, kids are already missing out on a lot of instruction time. So this kind of serves more than one purpose. It gives kids the opportunity to learn what education might look like in another setting. It gives them an opportunity to explore different subjects that they aren't otherwise getting at school because so much time is spent teaching to the test. And it gives the parents a place to send their kids when they want to, you know, take that stand against the school district and against the STAR test.
Alicia Verdier and her partner have only lived in the Houston Independent School District for 2 years. It didn't take them long to draw their own conclusions about the effects of standardized testing and the need for an alternative.
Last year, we knew about the opt-out choice, but I needed to experience what the STAR test was like before making that call. Our daughter last year spent the first 7.5 months of her school year only doing STAR test prep. And being in third grade last year, that meant that she only did reading and math. Those are the subjects that are tested in third grade. I tried calling HISD. I tried calling TEA. I said, we're lacking things. They're not providing physical education, which is mandated by the state. They're not providing science and writing, social studies, and history. Kids are also missing out on art and music and drama and orchestra and all kinds of things that they should also have a guarantee to be able to experience. I think we were shocked at how much test prep is done here and how little exploration into other into other subjects the kids got.
The Houston Federation of Teachers represents roughly 6,000 HISD employees, including instructional support staff as well as classroom teachers. HFT Executive Vice President Andy Dewey says they've joined CVPE in a national initiative against the abuse of standardized testing.
You know, CVPE is giving an alternative on test days than going instead of just going in and taking the test. They say we're not trying to give the kids a day off. We'd like them to actually learn that day, to do what they should be doing in school, and to learn. That's their whole purpose of the academy, all right? And I think it just is there to make a point that testing takes away from learning. So we're going to give them the opportunity to learn that day. Please understand, it's the National United Opt-Out Movement, all right? And if we look at the whole resolution, the key part of this resolution is if a group of parents wanted to organize an opt-out at any particular campus, and they wanted HFT to be supportive of it, our key to this is we would have to put that question in front of our membership at that school and have them vote on it. And if they voted it affirmatively, it would be a function of the entire union and no individual teacher.
And a shout out and a special thank you to Jacob Santillan for that report. One of the other issues in Houston Independent School District is that these assessments are used and tied to teacher appraisal systems, as has been the case for the previous 4 years. Known as Value Added, it was a group of Houston Federation of Teacher Educators in that district who banded together to file a federal lawsuit. That lawsuit is set to go to trial this upcoming September. Recently, the state of Texas has decided to follow districts like Dallas and Houston Independent School District's lead by also attempting to tie teacher appraisals to these high-stakes testing. Subsequently, there are a number of other lawsuits that are popping up, partially inspired by the initiative that was taken by the original group of 8 teachers right here in Houston. This news comes from the Texas American Federation of Teachers website, and we will continue to follow the grassroots battle against high-stakes testing. That does it for another week here at the Houston Independent Media Radio Show. I'm Rachel, the producer for tonight's broadcast. A special shout out to Bob, our board op for the revolution. And until next Friday, whether you're a first time or a long time listener, we would like to thank you for tuning in to us this evening and remind everyone out there, don't hate the media, be the media. Peace.
KPFT's Spring Fun Drive is coming up, and we need your support to make it a success. In May, we'll be bringing you some of our best programming to remind you why community radio matters. And your pre-pledge today can help shorten this campaign. That's right. You can make our spring shorter by donating this hour at kpft.org. And if you or your business or organization wants to make a bigger donation, you can turn that into a match or challenge pledge to encourage others to give. Just email Development Director Robin Lewis at robin@kpft.org for more information. Again, our spring marathon is near. Please help today at kpft.org. Thanks. This is KPFT Houston. Oh.